Welcome to Into Cairns Alone. You all probably already know I'm Aaron. If you're listening to this, I assume that it's because you owe me a favor or something. This is just a recorded audio log of me solo playing the role-playing game Cairn. You've definitely heard of Dungeons & Dragons, and this is basically just a simplified version of that game. We have two main characters, Pluck, who is a Fletchwind, like an archer, outdoorsy kind of guy, and Ember, an RFX. She's a sort of alchemist, mad scientist type thing. Our story starts in a jail because Ember successfully made wooden coins appear to be gold. It lasted for a night and a day, and then the coating started to wear off. Her friend Pluck is in jail with her because he unwittingly spent the handful of gold on a tremendous night at the local tavern. And they're sitting in their jail cell. This other shabby little guy asleep, snoring on the floor next to them. And in the other room, they can hear these muffled voices and some shouting, some laughing, some more discussing stuff. Finally, Sharif, the jailer, mayorish kind of sheriff in town, enters the room. He's joined by Gary Strongkettle, the tavern keeper. After Sharif greets the sleepy guy, asks how his mother's doing, then he addresses Pluck and Ember. He says, "Boys, I've known you as long as I can remember." Ember says, "Why does he always insist on calling us boys?" "Now, I've known your mothers both, and I'd rather not upset them by telling them you're in jail. Gary here has a proposal, a way you can make it up to them." And Gary says, "I'm not sure if you two remember my brother's boy, Bulferg. Well, he's got mixed up with a couple of other fellas, and they thought they'd check out some weirdo stone thing out in the jungle that they heard about. That was last Tuesday. I ain't heard from him since. They're okay, lads, really. They just got it in their heads that they're brave adventurers just because they kicked a skeleton once and robbed a grave. Please, go find the little idiots. You bring them back here, and we'll not say another word about your wee little mix-up with the golden coins." And Pluck says, "Well, of course. Why, we're always happy to help, especially when the pay's so good." So, Pluck and Ember set out into the jungle, and they're not real sure what they're looking for. They're just hoping that they'll know it. They've been told that it's supposed to be less than a day's walk out away from town. And they do know it for sure when they see it. It's standing up in a vague clearing sort of in the middle of the jungle. There's a tower attached by tall tubular structures to various large bulbous regions. The whole structure appeared to be stone, but rather than chiseled out of rocks, it looked like liquid stone poured into a mold, the way Gary poured pancake batter into the waffle mold. Let's see. I'm going to roll. This is our first roll of the game. I'm going to roll and I ask the Oracle if there's anything guarding it. Nope. So the only entrance that they can find is at the edge of one of the large round bulb areas. There's a stairwell that leads down about 6 or 8 feet into the ground where a heavy metal door is sitting partially open. Ember carefully lights her lantern and the two open the door wide enough to peek in. A huge raccoon, almost as big as Ember, is just eating a corpse on the floor. Let's see. doesn't really really like them being there. The beast becomes defensive, and stands up on its hind legs over the body, growling and chittering like a raccoon, but a giant raccoon. Some sort of bizarre tall statue stands in the middle of this room. It's hard to get a good look at it while the giant raccoon is threatening them. So Pluck tosses a ration in the room and roll another reaction. Aha, good. So the raccoon likes it. He drags the packet of rations over to the corpse, drops it on top of it, hunches down, and starts trying to open this new snack. So cautiously, the party slips into the room, keeping their distance from the animal and its stinky, smelly prize. Now they can tell that the statue is carved from a strange porous rock and depicts a 12-foot-tall praying mantis-like being. It wears a golden crown and holds a glass orb full of green glowing liquid that attracts flies and gnats like a nightlight. It glows enough that it adds little light to the room, in addition to Ember's lantern. She whispers, "Do you think that crown is real gold, Pluck? Pluck." And Pluck is distracted. He sees a set of bloody footprints. "These look like an ogre's been here. I didn't think a raccoon would slay a person, no matter how large the raccoon happens to be." "Then let's not go where those footprints are leading." So Ember carefully tries to open the door near her. Let's see if it's locked. No. Is it stuck? Yes. Okay. It's stuck, so she asks Pluck to open it. Pluck leans his shoulder hard into the door, gives it a push. There's a roll versus strength. That is a 2 under his strength of 11. Great. So he successfully, easily pushes the door open. It gives a little screech, you know, metal on stone that disturbs the raccoon. He starts growling and chittering again, even louder than before, now that he's got 2 prizes to guard. So creeping along the hall about 40 feet, they see it comes to an intersection. Walking up to the intersection, carefully peering both ways, they see a doorway to the south. The northern branch leads about 30 feet, and they can just make out at the edge of their light that there's another door there as well. Ember says, "Let's just take this door. It's right here." Pluck replies, "Wait, stop. Just slow down. Don't you know anything about how this stuff's done? You've got to listen to the door first." So, Pluck would hear this weird buzzing sound, and I'd like to think that normally if I was just playing this with a game master, I would totally ask to have him investigate the door further and figure out why there's a buzzing. I already know from this adventure here that the door is trapped, but we'll ask the Oracle if Pluck would check the door. It seems fairly likely. And that is a 3. So the answer is yes, he does. So Pluck carefully traces his knife along the edge of the door frame, listening attentively. As the blade gets closer to the floor, the humming gets louder, and he suddenly realizes there's the floor tile that goes under the door is rusty, like, iron instead of stone. I believe this door is trapped, though I'm not sure in what way. It would be good for us to open it at a distance and avoid that odd floor tile there. So they, you know, they press up against the wall, sort of at an angle to the door, and Pluck tries to throw open the door and not get in front of it while he opens it from around the corner. Ember thrusts her arm into the hallway just to kind of let the lantern light him up without being in harm's way if something crazy happens. This is a difficult task. In this game, we will have to roll under their Pluck's dexterity, I'll say, so that he can get it open without falling over into that onto that iron tile. It's a 12 and a 1 under his dexterity of 16, so it is an unmitigated success. The door is only loosely closed, we'll say. It's relying on the trap, you know, to protect whatever is inside. So Pluck easily flicks his wrist, opens the door, and it kind of slowly opens, and no trap is triggered. So Pluck says, "Just to be safe, hop over that metal bit there, Ember." They do, and they safely enter. So inside the room, it's relatively bare with the exception of a large black chest and a single painting on the wall. The painting features a young man with an expression like he's just been very surprised, like just got scared by a bear. His hands are high, his mouth wide open, his eyes are, you know, shocked. Ember says, "This painting is really quite exquisitely rendered. It's quite lifelike." So this painting is of Bolferg Strongkettle, but let's see if Ember recognizes him. I'm not even sure she knows who he is, so let's see what the Oracle says. No, she doesn't recognize him. Pluck says, "Never mind the painting. Do you suppose there's any treasure in this chest?" I'm not sure if he'd check for traps before opening the lid, so we'll check in. Nope. This time he doesn't check for traps. He just throws open the chest, and in a momentary burst of white light, he disappears, and he's replaced in the room by Bolferg. "What in the name of science?" The Ember's, you know, sciencey, fantasy scientist. Bolferg says, "It's not my fault. I was trying to warn you." "You mean you could see us?" "Yeah, I was looking at you from..." And his voice trails off, and he sort of notices the painting, which now features Pluck looking even more surprised than Bolferg had seemed. And maybe we'll stop there for today. If this hasn't been too incredibly boring, I would love to have you guys listen to the next episode of Into Cairn Alone, whatever we end up calling this.